I'm excited about teaching today and sharing in the Word. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I am Pastor Daryl. My wife, PK, is serving up in Church Kids today. If you have kids checked in, you may have had the opportunity to meet her as you were dropping them off. But we want to say hello. We want to meet you. We're always available after the service, either in the lobby or here in the auditorium. No hard sell. We just are glad you're here and excited about what God is doing. Hey, 17 people were in Discover Church last Sunday, and all of them said, you know what? I want to be a part of the church. Covington. Yeah, that's fantastic. That was last Sunday. 26 in November said, yes, I want to be a part of the church. Covington, I believe this is a year of growth. I believe this is a year of God doing what he wants to do. And I see your friends, I see your family here, and it is exciting. And I'm telling you, this is a unique house. It's a powerful house. Some of this flow may be new to you. Maybe this is not a part of your background or your religious expression or tradition. But let me tell you something. This kind of worship, it goes back as far as the eye can see. All the way back there in Psalm 150, David was saying, praise the Lord. Give me some cymbals. Give me some harps. Give me something that makes some noise. Let me use the instruments that I possess and let me magnify the Lord and bless the Lord. So I'm excited about what God is doing, and I want your friends and your family to be a part of it. And that really is a good segue into our teaching today, because we have been in a series called 23 and Me. I know 23 and Me is a genetics company. It's a DNA matching company. And today we've been talking about spiritual DNA, and I want you to get caught up. You can always go to YouTube and hear the last couple of messages if you want to just see what all God has been saying to us so far in this new year. But today is not DNA necessarily, but it is absolutely something that God put into each of us. He made us salty. He put salt into us. And when I say he made us salty, I'm not talking about the clapback kind. I'm not talking about the on-edge sort of sassy kind, but actual salt. Created us with salt. The human body, yours and mine, has about half a pound of salt in it. Roughly 4 to 5 salt shakers worth of salt. That's how much you and I have in our bodies at any given time. And that salt in our bodies is absolutely necessary for our survival. And some of you just immediately felt relief because you get to the lunch table and you salt your food heavily, and you're like, ah, now I understand why I'm craving salt. We pastored a young lady in Texas. I never will forget the first time that she was at the same table I was at, maybe a Sunday lunch or whatever it was, but she was new. I didn't know her very well, had only met her a couple of times, but here she is at the table, and she started salting her food, and I was sitting there like, oh my word, stop, slow down, what are you doing? And finally she looked up and my eyes were just bugging, and I said, Stephanie, and she said, I know, I have a problem. Yes, ma'am, you do. I mean, I know I have several as well, but that cannot be good for you. It was an unbelievable amount of salt, and we worked on it for several years trying to help her. But I'm not a food salter. Are you somebody that salts food? I see some hands raising. Yeah, occasionally some chips or French fries or something like that, but not a heavy salter of food. If your body gets low on salt, that isn't necessarily how you replenish it. It is one of the ways, but just table salt, that causes other issues and brings other circumstances into play. But I get it. People enjoy salt. It is a flavor enhancer. That's what it's designed to do. And really, that's what Jesus was talking about when he asked us to be salty. He did. He asked us to be salty. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm in the Message translation today because I like the ease of understanding the wording here. But he said, let me tell you why you are here. That's big. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. He said, I need you to be salty. And he says it so plainly. Let me tell you why you are here. And I need to spend a few moments with this today because this is the number one question I am asked as a pastor. Why am I here? Why am I still alive? Why am I still breathing? I mean, after all I've been through, after all I've dealt with, after everything that has happened in my life, why am I still here? I want to give you a few reasons why you are here, and all of them are important. But the first one is right here at the top of the list. You're here to help people find Jesus. You are. You're here to help people find Jesus. And that's important because before you find Jesus, your whole life is about finding Jesus. But after you find Jesus, your whole life is about sharing Jesus. And you may be in either one of those categories. You may be here today and you're trying to find him. Maybe you're here today and you're not quite sure why you're here. You just keep feeling drawn into this atmosphere. You keep feeling drawn into Sundays at the church, and something is craving in you, and something is desiring in you. What is it? He's drawing you, because no man comes to God except the Spirit draws him. So you're feeling drawn, you're feeling wooed. That's an old church word we used to use, the wooing of the presence of God, the calling, the drawing of the presence of God. That's such an incredible feeling. That's such an awesome time and season in your life. Don't run from that. Don't deny that. Don't kick against that. Don't push back from that. Just let the Lord put you in the flow and just ride the current, because I promise you, where he's leading you and where he's taking you and where he wants you to end up is going to bless your life. Are there any testimonies of people that were called and now you are so grateful? So before I find Jesus, finding Jesus is all that matters. But once I find him, my whole life is about sharing Jesus with other people. Let me tell you another reason you're here. You're here because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. I don't know if you remember. I hope you remember. I hope you haven't lived so long or been saved so long or been churchy so long that you have forgotten. But do you remember how much you needed the Lord? Do you remember how desperate you were? Do you remember maybe even how angry you were or how challenging life had become? Can I just say it this way? Do you remember how messed up you were? Your thinking was off. Your lifestyle was out of bounds. Everything was just out of sorts in your life, but you remember needing him. Now, I just want you to assume that everyone you meet, everyone you live next door to, everyone you work with, everyone you play ball with, everyone you go to school with, or that you shop in the same store with, all of them feel the same way. Their lives are broken. They are in need. I'm here because people need the Lord. But I'm going to go a step beyond that. I'm here because people actually want the Lord. Not only do they need Him, but I am convinced that people want Him. They really do. People want Him. I know we're ready to assess and determine when people around us need the Lord. I can see somebody and say, yep, they need God. I can hear them talk and say, whew, I know their answer. They need the Lord. But I'm not quite sure they want Him. I'm not sure they understand that they need Him. And you know what? That need is increasing every single day. In fact, I don't know how people go through what they go through without Jesus in their life. I don't know how people handle the pressure and deal with the challenge and deal with the anxiety without Jesus in their life. And I realize that some do not even realize how much they need the Lord or how much they want the Lord. I know they're craving help. I know they're looking for peace. I know they desire truth and they want change. But you know what? When they get around you, all of a sudden you are a witness. All of a sudden you are a testimony. You are the very thing that they are aspiring to and looking for. When they see and feel what you have, ladies and gentlemen, that is the salt. When they see what you have, it creates an appetite for the Lord, because people want the Lord. So Jesus said, you're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. I understand earth is really big. We passed 8 billion in population late in 2022. And when I think of 8 billion people, it's overwhelming to think that I am responsible for all of them. But guess what? I'm not responsible for all of them. I have to narrow my focus to my corner of the earth, my place on the earth, my spot, my little bit of square footage that I have been given dominion over and I have been given influence in. I can't be overwhelmed with nations I've never been to or people groups that I have never met, but I am a part of a giant army, because while I may be focused on my corner of the earth, there is someone who shares the same name, Jesus, that I share, that's in that part and that corner and that place in the earth, and all of us are working together to be the salt seasoning that the earth needs. But all of us, every single person in this room today has a sphere of influence. All of us have people who are looking to us, listening to us, paying attention to us. I have family. I have a friend set. I have a workplace. I have a school. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be salty for all of them. I want you to stay salty. I want you to be salt seasoning in the places that I have given you influence and the places that I have given you responsibility. I want you to be salty. What does salt do? It's fascinating to me. First of all, salt preserves. Salt preserves. When Jesus was talking about this, of course, they understood clearly what he was saying, because they did not have refrigeration. They did not have freezers or any of the conveniences that you and I know so well. There are probably people in this room that are old enough to remember days without refrigeration, or maybe only the very wealthy in your community had refrigeration. Maybe you used very different devices, but in those times that Jesus was talking about this, they literally used salt because they would wrap that piece of meat in salt. They would cover it with salt, and salt kept it from spoiling. It kept it from going bad. That it preserved it. So in the spiritual sense, when you and I are salty, when you and I are operating in this God-given grace and ability and call, we are preserving people. We are preserving a community. Why? Because there is life beyond this life. I want my salt to make a difference in your life. I want you to get salty as well, because when this life is over and we have the opportunity to spend eternity in the next life, I don't know about you, but I want to make it. I want to survive this life and get to the next life. I'm not talking about coming back as a cow or... talking about living in eternity with Jesus. I'm talking about spending eternity around the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Salt preserves so that we can get to that place. You know what else? You know what else salt does? Salt purifies. I love this. Salt purifies, because we live in an impure world. And literally, when I am operating in my salty nature, when I'm being obedient to the word of God, and I am salt seasoning in my community, and I'm salt seasoning in my workplace, when I am salty at the school, when I'm salty at the little league or in the neighborhood, I am an agent of purification. Not an agent of judgment. Not an agent of wagging my finger in people's face or looking at people with a judgmental glare. I'm an agent of purification, because suddenly people don't want to continue the same conversation they were having when I join in. What is it? It's not me being judgmental. It's not me correcting anyone. I'm just salty. My salt is working. And people get around and say, "Wait a minute, I want to talk about something different. I want to do something different," because salt purifies. Let me tell you what else salt does. Salt creates thirst. This is my favorite one. Salt creates thirst. If you ever been to one of those restaurants, you go to a Texas Roadhouse or something, they'll have those peanuts on the table. I love those things. But there's something about them. The more of them you eat, the more you want to drink. If you go to a bar establishment, I'm not recommending you do this, but they'll just pass out those peanuts for free. Because the more peanuts you eat, the more you want to drink. Because salt creates thirst. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are being salty in this community, if you and I are being salty on the workplace, if you and I are being salty at school, if you and I are being salty in our neighborhood and all of the things that we involve ourselves in, we are creating thirst in other people. Thirst that says, "Hey, what is it that's happening in your life? What is it that's going on in your life?" I reached out to somebody this week about having lunch with them Sunday. They said, "No, we can't have lunch because we have friends coming to church, and we're going to go to lunch with our friends who are coming to church." I couldn't be more excited to be rejected, turned down in all of my life. No, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to go to lunch with you, because we're being salty, and God is using us to create thirst in someone else's life. When people see you and I coming, are they turning the other way? Are they trying to get away from us? Or does our salty life create thirst in them to say, you know what, I want what you have. I want to experience what you've experienced. I want to walk in what you've walked in. Let me tell you what else salt does. Salt melts. It melts. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were having that extreme cold weather. And all of the roads, all of a sudden, they had salt on the bridges and the overpasses. Why? Because salt will not freeze. Salt is not affected by the cold weather. Salt actually melts the ice so that we can pass safely and we can navigate safely. Salt melts. Let me tell you, spiritually speaking, salt can melt a hard heart. Salt can melt a bitter spirit. I have been melted by the love of Jesus. But hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the only connection some people have to Jesus is me. And so I've got to make sure that I am salt seasoning so that when I am in the same room with their hard heart, when I am in conversation with their bitter spirit, I'm not affirming that. I'm not going along with that. The love of Jesus is working through, and my saltiness is melting the challenge and the pain in their life. Because finally, not only does salt preserve and not only does salt purify, salt creates thirst, salt melts, but salt heals. It is a healing agent. You can have cuts and bruises and go down here to the beach and get into that water for an hour or so, and you'll come out and you'll see those cuts healing. Salt speeds it up. Salt speeds the healing process. How many people do you know who have been hurt by other people? Maybe those who have been hurt by religion. But Jesus wants to heal them. Jesus wants to work in their life. Jesus said, let me tell you why you are here. I want you to know why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning. Let me wrap this entire message up in one statement that may make it clear. I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. What else matters? As we're being invited into every scrap, argument, and reason of offense in 2023, as someone's trying to draw us into social media fusses and fights. No. Why not? Because I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. Pastor Darrell, that's a huge responsibility. I know. That's why he said, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to make a difference in someone else's life. I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing. But he said, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Jesus puts a lot of responsibility on us to stay salty. But here's what's interesting to me. Salt does not expire. Salt that's been iodized, I understand. Salt that's had other kinds of seasonings added to it, garlic salt, onion salt. Those things do have a shelf life, even though they are very long themselves, because salt preserved, but just pure salt, it does not expire. That means what is inside of you, what Jesus put inside of you, it does not expire. It does not go bad. So maybe 2020, maybe 2021, maybe a big part of 2022 was just survival for you. Maybe it was just you trying to get through, put one foot in front of the other. But I hear the Lord calling us out of just survival mode the last couple of years. I hear God calling us into thriving mode to be able to bless people and to make a difference in this community in 2023. Somebody say 23 and me. It's what God is calling me to do. It's what God is asking me to do. Saul doesn't expire, and his audience understood this. Jesus, those he was talking to, because salt was considered to be the second most valuable commodity that they had. They considered sun to be number one. Light, time was their most valuable commodity, but number two was salt. And oftentimes people were paid, people were compensated in salt. That's where we get the phrase, he's not worth his salt. People were paid, they were compensated in salt. So you really got to work hard to lose your saltiness. Don't do that. Don't try to do that. Don't climb up under a table and just find the deepest, darkest corner you can in life to sit in. Don't allow your own hurt to grow into bitterness. Pray through that. Push through that so that you can taste the godliness for your own healing and your own sanity and your own peace of mind. But then God has done a work in my life. Now I want to be a part of God doing a work in someone else's life. I want my words to be edifying. I want my attitude to be attractive. I want my heart to be healing for others. I don't want to just live with the same attitude or the same mindset that everyone else has in the culture. I want to be full of Jesus. I want to be salty. And it's a call for us in this new year to stay salty. Because he said, otherwise, if you've lost your saltiness, he said, you end up in the garbage. You end up, the King James just says, being trampled underfoot. You become worthless to the kingdom. No one wants that. No one desires that. So let me say it this way. Just as salt is necessary to your physical health, I believe salt is necessary for your spiritual health as well. You see, salt in our body, I've got an education studying for this message. Why do I have a half a pound of salt in my body? Salt is what allows my nerves to communicate with one another. It allows for nerve impulses. How does that relate spiritually? Well, salt allows me to be sensitive to people's needs, sensitive to people's pain, sensitive to the goings through that people are having in their life. I'm living more sensitive when I am spiritually salty. But not only in the natural does salt help with nerve impulses, it also allows muscles, especially those around the heart, to relax and to contract, to tense and to release. The impulses in our body, the muscles in our body that are needed to keep hearts going, all of those things are so necessary. I need that salt in my body because it is allowing all of those things to happen naturally. But spiritually speaking, when I am salty, when I'm operating in the call that God put on my life. When I'm operating as Jesus asked me to operate, I want you to be salt seasoning. Guess what? Being salty becomes necessary for my spiritual health. I love what Galatians 5 says. I'm still in the message. 5:22, but what happens when you live God's way? What happens when you are obedient to God, when you do things the way Jesus asked? Well, he brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others. I didn't even like people, but I started doing things God's way. And now all of a sudden, man, you're cool, you're awesome, I like you. It's amazing. When you do things God's way, there's affection for others. There's exuberance about life. When everyone else is downtrodden, when everyone else is depressed, when everyone else is walking into work kicking rocks, oh, it's another Monday. Here you come saying, wow, it's another Monday. Now, which one do people want to be around? They're coming to you because they're hoping that your good attitude can rub off on them. They're hoping that your exuberant spirit and your positive outlook can make a difference in their life, because they have so many things swirling and so many things weighing them down and so many things overwhelming them and so many things making them anxious, that when they meet you and you're saying, you know what, I'm just trying to be an attractive person, not vanity, not look in the mirror. I want my spirit to be attractive so that someone who knows me but does not know God wants to know God because they know me. He said, that's what happens when you do things God's way. Not only will you have an affection for others and an exuberance about life, but he said you'll have serenity. Serenity, what is that? It's a beautiful word, but it is a calmness. It is a quietude, unusual word. It's a peace. There's a serenity about you. While others are anxious about the economy, you're just saying, you know what? God's got this. It's going to be all right. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm God's child. It's going to be okay. Serenity. When everyone else is looking for the next medication that gets them through, looking for the next pill that solves their problem, looking for the next session that can fix their crisis, there is a serenity about you. And before long, because you are salty, they're saying, man, can we just go to lunch together? Because I feel better after talking to you. What is that? Oh, it's my degree. Why do I feel stronger after being with you? Oh, it's these new shoes I'm wearing. No, it's Jesus. Jesus, we used to sing Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, oh, what a joy in my life. It's Jesus alive in me. He said we develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. We're able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That's what happens when we do things God's way. Can I say it one more time? I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of this God way of life. That's the beauty of this Jesus way of life. I know we talk about the circle of life, and you know, you see that happen if you just sit out on your back porch when the weather permits and just pay attention. You'll see the circle of life in action. You'll see the birds eating the insects and other things eating the birds. Just the constant circle of life. What about the circle of faith? The circle of faith says they need eternity. I'm salty. I'm going to share my life, my testimony, my salt, my God. They're going to find eternal life. And somehow in them finding eternal life, I'm going to feel fulfilled. My purpose, strong. Because I'm able to do what God has asked me to do. I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God want to know God because they know me. Mr. Darrell, it's too much pressure. I have to be on all the time. Actually, that's the enemy trying to condemn you. And I love the word that said, there is therefore now no condemnation. Because we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to have it together all the time. We're going to stumble, trip, mess up, make mistakes, fumble the ball. But Jesus said, what makes a just man different is that he keeps getting up. A just man may fall 7 times, but he keeps getting up. I don't know where you are, that you're on fall 3 or fall 4. Maybe 6. But on this 22nd January, get up, dust yourself off, and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I make so many mistakes, but I gotta stay salty. Gotta keep loving people, keep caring about people. Hadn't planned to do this, Rossman. Would you stand up for me if you don't mind? You and your wife, Kim, stand up. This is a beautiful family. I thank God for them. They've been a part of our house for a few months. It's a beautiful story how God brought them to us and how God worked it all out. Incredible, incredible story is their life and all that they've walked through. But They're about to lead for the first time. This has been part of our vision and heart for a long time, but it's always about the right people and the right personality and the right gift to lead this kind of ministry. But they're about to lead a recovery small group. That's where we're starting. Our vision is to have incredible full recovery ministry that happens through this house. But we're about to start in a small group in just a couple of weeks, and this beautiful couple's going to lead. You know why? Because, well, he's a survivor. And Kim is uniquely gifted because she helped get him through. But his clean and sober story is his to tell, and it's powerful and it's incredible. But it's salt. It's salt. It's a difference maker. Because no matter how many times Rossman fell, no matter how many times he tried to get clean and stumbled or fell off a wagon or ended up in his own mess, he kept getting up. She kept helping him stand up until now. until now. God can use their story to make a difference in someone else's life. Thank you, guys. If you haven't met them yet, meet them. Meet them. Get to know them. Where are you? As we talk about the possibilities of 2023. And this altar is twofold, because there's someone in this room that's low on salt. I'm not going to say you have no salt. It just feels like your salt is inactive. You set your salt on a shelf, and there it sits. I do it almost every time. My wife's got pink salts, and you know, she's real health conscious, and I'm her project, me and the kids. But almost every time, I'm looking for glasses, trying to find fine print. When does this expire? Daryl, you dummy, it doesn't expire. It's good. It's good. Twist it, turn it, shake it. It's good. Maybe you feel like your salt has been sitting on a shelf. It's not been activated. It's not been used. It's not been shaken in a while. Shake your salt. I should have called this message that. That would have been fun. Shake your salt, because there's someone in your life that's watching you and you don't even realize. Someone paying attention and you don't even realize. Activate your salt. Yet someone else today that you feel like you've got nothing to offer, because you're the one that keeps making mistakes, tripping, and messing up. You got the same half pound of salt in you that I have in me. You got the same gift in you that I have in me. You just gotta get out of your own way. You just gotta make a decision today. I'm ready to serve the Lord. I'm ready to walk with Him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this room. Maybe someone is ready to make that decision. Maybe someone's ready to make that choice today. I'm tired of doing good for a few weeks, and then, I don't know, it's the colossal mistake, stumble, mess up. And yet here I am. I keep coming back into His presence. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to return, because His presence is our hope. Pastor Darrell, how do I settle this once and for all? How do I surrender my life so that it sticks? So that next week when the same temptation comes, I'm not weak. I don't just automatically give in. I want to get saved for real. I want to get saved for real. Man, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm telling you, this is your day, son. This is your day, daughter. This is your day to let Jesus fill up your life so big, so overflowing. I'm not saying the temptation coming this week won't rock you. I'm not saying it won't push you. I'm not saying it won't tempt you. But there is therefore now no temptation that is common to me. I am standing in and on God's word. Pray it with me. Say, Jesus, today is my day. Today is the day of salvation in my life. Today is the day I say yes once and for all. I repent of my sin. I reject every way of the world. I set my affection on you. I want you, Jesus. Not just need you, I want you. I want your way of life. I want your path. I'm ready to follow you today. I accept your gift. I receive your promise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Come on, can we give Jesus a hand? People, thank you, Lord. They're about to lead us in worship for another few moments. But before you go, if you prayed that with us today, I don't want you to miss this moment, because this is powerful, following Jesus. On either side of this auditorium, these yes banners, a table right there. You don't have to sign anything. You don't have to pay anything. This is yours. Just a few pages that'll help you know what to do next, where to from here. If you want that digitally, text the word follow to 404-777-4701. When you get that link to your phone, click the link, give us your email address, and this book will land in your email in just a few short minutes, and you can read it right there from your phone or your computer, your tablet, and you can know what God has for you. Most importantly, I want you back here next Sunday. What would happen? What would happen if you gave Jesus 1 year of your life? What would happen? I see some of you, I see guests and new folks that have been here almost every Sunday in 2023. Why not just keep it going? Just come every opportunity you have this year. I promise you that when you get to the end of this year, you're going to say, you know what? I'm not leaving. You couldn't blow me out of this place with a stick of dynamite. I want what Jesus is doing in my life. Come on, stand with me across the room today. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord in this room. We're going to worship for another few moments today. If you need special prayer, I'd love to pray with you today. I'd love to agree with you today. If you need to go, God bless you. Sacred season this week. Spend time in prayer. But if you're ready to just stretch yourself toward the heavens for a moment, I just want to be. Yes, I do.